Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 13 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista here with Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
You know, very cautiously optimistic today. This next week could be a great week. It could be a really bad week. But first things first, got to introduce our special guest, resident Yankees fan, also a Bruce Beck Sports Broadcasting camp. He is also an alumni, just like Anthony and I. So, Austin Platt, how you doing, buddy?
Well, cautiously optimistic, I think, is the way to put it. You know, it's going to be a fun month, whether the Yankees are in it for 2 days or for all 30 days. You know, playoff baseball Wednesday, you know, we got 8 games on. So, you know, I'm excited. Can't wait for this team. It's been up and down. And, I mean, I don't know what version we're going to get of this team. But, hey, let's get it rolling.
Yeah. Yeah, big show, guys. We got Yankees-Indians preview, Yankees regular season recap. As you guys know, we talked about it a little bit. Anthony's a Mets fan, so he'll be pitching in a lot because I'm sure we got to get that. We got to get the outside, non-biased perspective here. So, this is gonna be something, man. This is gonna be something. So, as we all know, the Yankees did not finish their season on a high note at all. 2-6 in their last 8 games. Shocker, because they're the streakiest team in baseball this year. Michael Kay put it best on Sunday, in saying that the Yankees are literally the streakiest. They're either the best or the worst. There is no in between. So it all comes down to what version of the Yankees we're going to get. So, Platt, if you'd like to recap this last week of Buffalo and Miami and just the giant mess, go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say first.
I mean, you know, the Yankees won, what, like 9 or 10 in a row. You know, it's been the streakiest team in baseball. It was feeling good. We completely dumped on the Buffalo Blue Jays at home. And, you know, life was good. And then, you know, we took 2 out of 3 against Boston. And then we just go back to Buffalo and we just got completely just manhandled. I mean, we lost the game 14-1. It was just unbelievable. Lost 3 out of 4. Then you lose to the Marlins. Like, come on now. There's no way to put it. The pitching staff, I don't trust anyone that is not named Kohler Tanaka. That includes the bullpen. And the offense, I trust like 2 guys. Like, it's a little bit of Aaron Judge, it's LeMahieu, and it's Voit. And other than that, I have no clue what's going to happen this postseason. And the fact we have to face Shane Bieber tonight when you guys are listening to this is just the scariest thing because he just won the Triple Crown. I really just don't know what to expect.
Shane Bieber is living rent-free in a high-rise apartment in my brain right now. He is living rent-free. He is probably, like, the only person I've actually thought of. Like, it's just – It's gonna be a crazy week, man. I don't know how else to put it. Like, Shane Bieber, I'll read off his stats for you guys right now. So in 12 games, Shane Bieber went 8-1. He had, I believe, a 1.63 ERA with 122 strikeouts and a .87 WHIP. And with the Yankees offense, man, when you're getting shut out by the Miami Marlins in the last game of the year. It's hard to imagine a scenario in which the Yankees can scratch across 2 runs against the guy who's running away with the AL Cy Young. I really am confident in that the fact that this team is probably the most talented team in the American League when they're at full strength and when they're all clicking. But it seems to me like they're just too streaky. Like, I don't know, there's a lack of urgency this year, it seems like. They're not all there. I hope it comes around during playoff time, but it just seems like they're just not all there right now. It's very odd.
They just never treated the regular season for real. And everyone said with this whole 60 games, you know, half the teams make the playoffs, that you didn't really have to treat the regular season, you know, full 100%, like every game mattered. And when the team got so injured, everyone just got so down. We all knew that, you know, the next game that would really matter would be that first playoff game. And now here we are, you know. Playing against the Indians, why couldn't the Indians lose a game so we could play the White Sox? Because the White Sox lost to the Cubs, and we play probably, other than the Rays, the team I wanted to play last. Indians and the Rays are the 2 scariest teams in the AL, and we could play them twice in a row if we're lucky enough to beat the Indians. It's such a disappointment, and I don't know what to say, but the Indians' offense is not that great. We just have to address that.
That's very true.
Jose Ramirez is the only guy on that offense. He's a beast, comeback player of the year, maybe the MVP. Mm-hmm. But other than that, this team isn't that bad. And the fact that we beat them, you know, 2017, a couple of years ago, after being down 2-0 against Cleveland. Yeah,
we got to play Bombers, yeah.
That was an unbelievable year, and I really hope we get the same thing because I want to beat the living hell out of the Rays after what happened with Kevin Cash and his nonsense. Maybe the Blue Jays can help us out, but we can't look ahead too much. We got to beat Shane Bieber somehow. We got to win game one. If we don't win game one, we're screwed.
Because I agree with you 100% there. I think whoever wins game one will win the series. I don't think that's all that much of a hot take, but before we get more into the Yankees-Indians series, let's talk a little bit more about the season. I'll start on the last day, which is a little weird, but the very fact that the Yankees had to rely on the Baltimore Orioles to win a baseball game for the Yankees to not have to get the eighth seed is just unbelievable. Like, I can't put into words the fact that, like, I guess, like, it's right. It's true to say that the Yankees, as what people thought would be a juggernaut heading into the season, probably didn't take the 60-game, 16-team playoff format like, oh, like, we'll get in because we're good enough, which is true. They were good enough. And I don't know if they were all there during the regular season, which is frustrating. But, like, I get it a little bit, but it still doesn't make it any less annoying to watch. But the very fact that they had to count on the Baltimore Orioles to win a baseball game, and thank God they did, so that they wouldn't have to go to their house of horrors for the last few years, Tropicana Field, it's just mind-boggling to me. It really is. The Yankees were in third place for like a whole week at one point because of how bad they were, which is just incredibly disappointing. So obviously the Yankees got off to a hot start. Back to the beginning, they started off 16-6. They rattled off a bunch of wins against Washington, Baltimore, Boston, slowed down a little bit in Philly and Tampa, but then they proceeded to win six straight again against Atlanta and Boston. So they're 16-6, and we're feeling good. So they're 16-6. So we'll talk a little bit about that part of the season. Obviously, that was when Aaron Judge was on an absolute tear. The guy was smacking the cover off of every baseball he saw. Gerrit Cole was pretty good to start. I mean, he really stepped into his own in the last quarter of the season, I think. I don't think that's any debate, but he was really good in that time period. 16-6. So, Platt, what were you thinking here, like 16-6? We're cruising in the AL East. What's the thought process there?
The easy thought here is just get the best record in baseball. You know, I predicted, I'm pretty sure on Twitter at the beginning of the year, 42-18. I said something like that. And I knew someone was going to get injured. I knew it was Stanton. Stanton would be, we know he's made of glass. The guy we knew had to get injured. I knew there was no way. People were saying, oh, we can win 45 games. 42 is still my cap. And I knew.
Even win
and after that, you know, we beat the Nationals to start. They didn't have Soto. They didn't even have Strasburg. So I thought maybe we could sweep them. 2 out of 3, that's fine. We snuck away with a win on that day. You know, we beat Baltimore those two games after, you know, the whole, you know, Marlins thing, you know, made it so that the series against the Phillies got postponed. So
that was a mess, yeah.
That was a real scare. And now the Marlins are in the playoffs after celebrating on our own field on Friday. Was pretty disappointing to see. But we beat Baltimore after we had a scare in that second game. We beat Boston, and we went 9-1 against Boston this year. I think we can have 3 claps for that because no matter how bad Boston was, we never do well in Fenway. In the last 2 years, we've done really well. So there we are. We're 4-1 after. We're 8-1 after that. 7-1, I should say. We beat Philly. That was 2 out of 4 against Philly. That was the week of the hurricane where I didn't have any power or anything. So I
remember that. Yeah, Connecticut and Westchester. You guys got screwed, and I was made in the shade here in South Jersey.
Yeah, so there was literally nothing. Yeah, Eversource didn't do anything to help us out. So I was literally watching a couple of those games in my family friend's, like, literally in his workspace. We literally went there, and I found Wi-Fi, and I watched the game while doing some other work. And I watched the first game they lost. You know, that was a half game where we gave up, like, 9 walks in one inning. That was unbelievable. So the Phillies and the Rays, you know, then we lost 3 out of 4 to the Rays. And that was kind of where that was the first, like, alarm bell going off. Like, okay, this team is not, you know, going to cream through everyone in the playoffs. And the Rays are still, you know, the toughest team in the AL. And that's certainly the case now for the one seed, and deservedly so. They've had a great year. Uh-huh. And that was where kind of the question mark started coming in. But then, you know, we roll 16-6. And I'm like, okay, this is the team. You know, maybe we'll slip up against the Rays. But, hey, we're going to win the division. We'll get a top seed, and we'll be ready for the playoffs. And then, oh, my God, what in God's name happened next?
Here we go. This is where it started getting bad. They lost 7 in a row. I believe it was 7 in a row. And getting swept by the once we got swept by the Rays in the Bronx in mid-August, that's when everything just started culminating. It was the perfect storm, and the Yankees just kind of that was the first real caution sign. They got swept by Tampa. They lost that doubleheader in Atlanta, an absolute gut wrencher in the second game when Chad Green gave up a 2-run homer to Freddie Freeman. And then what I thought would be the low point of the year was when they got swept at home in the doubleheader by the Mets and Ahmed Rosario hit that walk-off home run off of Chapman. How could you forget that? They were 16-13 to that point. That was a mess of a week and a half. That was a complete mess. And also, the Yankees had 6 days off at that point, too, because the Mets had that COVID scare. So
that was so bad. I mean, the fact that you lose those two games in Atlanta, you know, you lose to Anderson, who had his, you know, MLB debut, and Cole gave up, you know, that monster shot to Ozuna. That was his first, you know, really bad game, and kind of where, you know, people were like, oh, Cole isn't worth the money. And then you lose that second game. Oh, my God. And then, you know, the tough losses started coming. In 4 days, and they had four games, back-to-back doubleheaders. They lost 5-1, 2-1, 6-4, and 4-3. That was a time where the bullpen was just completely blowing everything for the Yankees. And then talk about a gift from above. Those three games against the Mets. I mean, I listened to that
episode.
Those
games saved the Yankees season. Those games saved the season. Those games absolutely saved the season. Obviously, we had the first of those games was like J-Hap pitched really well, and that was the first sign of J-Hap having a decent year. And then Ottavino blows it. I think Ramos hit like a just an absolute like piss missile off the foul pole. And then the next day, and then it was a walk-off wild pitch, and I believe Clint Frazier scored the winning run, and Dellin Betances gave it up. Then the next day was obviously the infamous 5-run comeback where Edwin Diaz blew a 5-run lead with two outs in the bottom of the seventh. Aaron Hicks had that game tying home run, unbelievably clutch, and then Gio with the RBI single in the bottom of the eighth, and then Gary's grand slam later that in the evening in the nightcap. So those three games, if the Yankees don't win those three games, obviously because they won the second place spot by one game, those are big character championship aspiration team wins.
And that was the low of the low. That was the bottom of the barrel. You're a 7-game losing streak. You're playing the Mets, for Christ's sake. And they were already, you know, out of it. You know, they had Syndergaard obviously had the injury. You know, they had the
opt out episode and the Cespedes episode. And it was just classic New York Mets. What Anthony would expect.
That was not fun at all.
Yeah, that you had fun on Friday. I remember you had fun on Friday. So,
100%, so much fun.
Friday was a good day for Anthony, but yeah, I digress. The Yankees then played Tampa at home and they lost 2 out of 3. That was kind of when the division went out of it. It became out of hand. They ended up, I think, 3.5 or 4.5 out after that series, and it was just like, that was the Kevin Cash being a little like, I'm not gonna say what I'm thinking, but I'm sure you all could imagine what I thought about Kevin Cash after that series.
That was where I knew, like, okay, like, you just gotta reset. And that was where I thought to myself, like, screw 2020, this whole 60-game garbage. Like, I thought to myself, like, this season kind of really doesn't matter anymore. This is kind of just looking forward to 2021, because this year we have seen a lot of things that I didn't expect. And we'll get to that later after the season. But there have been some hitters and some pitchers that have shown out and really showed that what they're made of and have proven themselves that they deserve a spot on this team. That's where I kind of thought the Rays are going to win the division. You know, we're going to get a wild card spot. We're going to have to probably travel or play some team we don't want to. And we're probably going to lose to the Rays. And that could very well happen. And, you know, my thinking from practically a month ago when we lost to the Rays is, you know, might come to fruition. But, you know, this is where I turned it and I was like, you know what, as much of a positive Yankees fan I can try and be, that was the low point. You're coming off three great wins against the Mets. Somehow they win three games and you got to play the Rays. You're, you know, the toughest team, and they just looked flat. They were just not themselves. And this is where it really started to turn.
Yeah, this is bad. Then obviously there was the Pete Alonso walk-off day. The Yankees blew three. They blew 1 4-run lead and 1 3-run lead in that game. That was just an unbelievably frustrating, gut-wrenching loss for the Yankees that night. That was frustrating. We don't have to go too far in depth into that game because it's a part of a stretch of games that gets really frustrating. Then the Yankees won in Baltimore the first game of a doubleheader that Friday. I remember being on like an Instagram call with you, Platt, during that game. It was like,
oh, that was that game. Oh.
You, Pescatore, and like Michael Guest. And we were just, yeah. The Yankees squeaked out a win after blowing a lead, duh. Then game two, they lose 6-3 on a, I think that Devy started and they brought in Clark. And, right? Yeah, Clark came in a dirty inning, which was really dumb of Boone on my part. And we'll get into our Boone opinions a little bit later, but that was a stupid move, I thought. They go on to lose. Then the next day, Cole gets lit up by the Orioles after looking beautiful for four or five innings there, where he had, like, I think 11 strikeouts in four innings or something crazy like that. Yeah, that sucked. That was a crappy loss. And then they just went out and looked flat in the Sunday matinee. And then to cap off this crappy stretch of games, they blow a four-run lead in Buffalo. That game really sucked. They had a 6-2 lead in the sixth, and they gave up 10 runs in the sixth inning. That was just the low point for the Yankee bullpen this year, I would say, for like when we're just not trusting them with leads at all. That was the low point. And then the next day they just lose 2-1. So at that point, the Yankees had lost 5 in a row. They lost 7 of 8, and they're 21-21 and behind the Blue Jays now. This is 2/3 of the way through that first Buffalo series. They're now behind the Blue Jays and they're in third place. So
that was the joke. That was where I didn't watch any of those games. The Toronto game, I literally turned it off for 2 seconds and I see that Ottavino gave up the grand slam and I just laughed and I just turned it off. I was like, I'm done with this team. This team stinks. The bullpen isn't there. The starting pitching, we'll hold it for you, but the bullpen isn't going to do anything. It's like I'm watching the Mets. It's like, you know, it's Edwin Diaz in there every single day. And this is what happened for all those close losses. It's just the bullpen blew it. The starting pitching gave us something. And we just lose it. And that was just a joke. I was like, all right, you know, when they start winning, I will start watching again.
That's exactly what I said. I can't speak for you on this matter, but I remember there being a period of time where I just said, like, I'm just not watching. I'm not tweeting. I'm not talking about the Yankees this year because they're going to miss the playoffs and it's going to be embarrassing. And it was just for the talent level of this team to ever have stretches where they lose 7 in a row, 5 in a row, 7 of 8, 6 of 8. It's unacceptable. It's just unacceptable because you look at the talent on this roster that was partially healthy, I'll say, more so than last year, but not great. And you shouldn't lose games like that. I think that, well, I'll get into it once we finish our schedule recap. I have a few things to talk about the Yankees injuries. But, yeah, and then obviously this one's a little – we're getting into the recent stuff. They rattle off 10 straight against Baltimore, Toronto, and Boston. That was great. The offense was great. The starting pitching was great. The bullpen was good enough. They won close games. They showed us that they could do that. One night that sticks out to me is Gary's game-tying home run at Fenway down to their last out. Another night that sticks out is 9-11, the sweep. That whole Orioles series, Voit's walk-off, Glaber coming up clutch with a pinch hit in the eighth, and then just dominating Boston up until that – and, man, when the Yankees offense scored 43 runs in 3 days against the Blue Jays, I was like, okay, this offense is still unreal. And I still think that they have so much potential. And the proof is in the pudding because it's happened. But
that was a very fun episode for you, Keith.
That was because the Yankees were just dominating. They were world beaters. They were back to New York Yankees. So they win 10 straight. So that was a fantastic week and a half there. And then, obviously, we'll get through this quick because we just talked about it recently, losing 6 of 8 to end the season. Those two wins, though, the offense scored 23 runs in those two wins. Unfortunately, in those losses, they didn't – I don't even think they scored 15 or 14. I'm going to count right now. They scored 13 runs in those six losses, and they scored 23 in the two wins. So that just shows the inconsistency of the whole thing. So
that's the Yankee season for you. It was literally a roller coaster. You had an up, You had a little bit of a down. You went back up 16-6. This is where we're at. A really low point. You win those 10 games in a row, and it's another low point. The good thing is last year the Yankees didn't have a great end to their season, and, you know, they surprised us by sweeping the Twins because I didn't expect that. But
I knew that I had a good feeling they were going to beat the Twins, but I didn't think they'd sweep them. I remember being a little bit more cautious about it, but they were complete – they were dominant in the beginning there. So let's recap the season. I have a few prompts for us to answer here. You think if you could give Aaron Boone a letter grade for this season, what would you give him?
Oh boy, I would get, considering what happened last year. Now we have to take into consideration what happened last year.
Obviously, there's recency bias.
Right, of course, and you want to give
only for this season. Yeah,
only for this season. Considering what happened last year, I would give him a C-. Because they had literally the same issues last year. It was probably even worse, let's be honest. Voit and Urshela are probably the only two players that didn't hit the IL. But some of the decision he made, I get it. At that one point, the bullpen was so utterly bad, I couldn't trust anyone out of that bullpen. I would have rather put you in there, Keegs, than put in anyone who gets paid any millions of dollars on their paycheck. But he leaves guys in too long, and then he pulls guys out too early. Tanaka is a perfect example of that. There were three or four times this year where Tanaka or even Hap, when Hap was bad and he actually came with a bounce back start, Boone just pulls him too early. And it's the opposite of Joe Girardi because he would leave in guys too long. See the 2017 playoffs when he did that a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
But he wasn't that great. Some of his, you know, putting guys in, when he benched guys, it would be so random. Considering what he did last year, 103 games with the roster that they had and considering the same situation and some of, you know, the lying with the Aaron Judge on the IL. Yeah, he's fine. And two games later, he's back on the IL for the same injury he had that was 2 weeks ago. It frustrates me. It's the New York media. He knows it too because he's been there for a couple of years now. And he just would lie to us. You know, every time someone, you know, comes out of the game early, you're wondering, are they really going to go on the IL or is Aaron Boone going to tell us the truth? Awful season from Boone. I blame it partly on him, partly on the 2020 coronavirus crap, and another half on the fact that, you know, half the team stunk half the time. So C+. Yeah. What did I say? C minus?
You said C-, and I'm going to have to agree with you there. You touched all the bases there. The miscommunication with the media and the fans really got me going a lot. Obviously, the in-game decisions really upsetting a lot of the time. I remember there were some egregious pinch hitting moments. There were some egregious decisions with the pitching and the bullpen management. But one thing you didn't say that I'm sure you'd agree with me on, I was questioning at certain points if his job as the manager, obviously they're stat nerds now. They make a lot of those decisions for him. His job as the manager is to have his 25, 26 guys, however many it was this year, have them ready to play every day. And it just didn't seem like he had those guys ready to play every single day. I'm not going to get all upset at Aaron Boone because he had a great year last year, but I'm not going to say it got to a point where I was thinking, like, does this guy just tolerate losing? Like, it seemed like he's a player's coach, which I guess isn't a terrible thing all the time. But when your guys are racking up losses like this, like, it seemed like there was no accountability in that clubhouse all year long. And obviously we're not there. We don't know that, but we can't help but think that due to the fact that they just looked dead. They looked like there was no urgency. There was no leadership. There was no any of it. And it just was a giant mess for half the season, evidently. And because of that, I also have to give him a C-. So that's enough on Boone. Hopefully he can rejuvenate himself in the playoffs. But another thing is, this is kind of a theory I have, less of a theory and more so of like something that's just not being talked about enough. I think that right now, obviously we know Voit is playing through an injury. That's no secret. I also think Urshela is playing through an injury because of his bone spur, and they discussed surgery with him in the offseason. I think that Judge and Glaber are both playing through injuries, 100%. That hamstring stuff doesn't just go away like the snap of a finger. That stuff sticks. Like, that's like the kind of stuff that, like, that'll linger, and I guarantee you neither of those guys play the last week and a half of the season if it's not the last week and a half of the season and they can't get reps in Scranton. It's not the same, you know? I don't know what the deal is with Stanton. He looks healthy to me. I'm not totally sure. Hopefully playoff Stanton that we know and don't love is not the guy that shows up this year. Because if there's a year for this guy to come out and shove and just show, like, especially after he opted into his contract. Like, this is where he's got to show Yankees fans that he is a New York Yankee. He needs to earn his stripes this year. But what do you think about the fact that, like, a lot of these guys are probably playing through injuries right now?
Yeah, there's that. I mean, just the whole summer camp and, you know, not getting the season started when they should have. You know, we should have had, you know, another 30 games at least this season. And the whole rush of summer camp, everyone knew it coming in. The pitchers were so much ahead of pitchers. And that includes with the injuries. And luckily, Major League Baseball is not seeing the injuries that, you know, say the NFL has. I mean, boy, there's a disaster over there.
What a mess,
you
know, yeah.
So many injuries. And it's frustrating because, you know, all the big guys, Stanton and Judge, you know, there's always going to be something there. But Boyd's played the whole year, and every time he, you know, rounds third base and given
– What an iron man, too. Like, impressive, great season by Luke Voit. Just unbelievable step up, be that guy. Like, awesome job by Voit.
He and Urshela, two guys that stayed healthy, were probably my two biggest question marks. And Urshela, we know why. You know, he was never a great hitter when he was with Cleveland. By the way, he made those two errors in one of those ALDS games a couple years ago.
I remember that. Yeah, game four. That was the Bauer game. Yeah.
That was fun. Yeah. So there's a little revenge there. But Urshela, obviously, with his numbers last year, was so good. No one really expected him to do anywhere close to that this year. And, you know, props to him for doing that. And the other thing with Voit was, you know, it was such a great move by Cashman to get him for Gallegos and someone else from the Cardinals a couple of years ago during that trade deadline. But
it was Shreve. It was Jason Shreve. That's who it
right.
was.
Oh, God, that guy. Glad we got rid of him.
New York Met, actually, Jason Shreve.
That's right, yeah. But the other thing with Voit is that he never played in the playoffs last year. He was set. He wasn't even on the squad for the Astros series because LeMahieu played great first base.
He wasn't good down the stretch, and we had Encarnacion.
And we had that. He had that hernia injury too. So that was another reason why I kind of was unsure about Voit this year. And he showed out. And both he and Urshela deserve a lot. But you know, the injury every time he rounds third base, I always that foot. I just feel like he's gonna, you know, twist something or just do something, but they're all playing through injuries. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if one of them has to have surgery in the off season, but hey, they're battling. It's not a great way to end the season and go into the playoffs, but they know, you know, a lot can change if this team does not perform well in the playoffs, because I've set my expectations for them very, very low, unfortunately.
So have I. This is the first time since like maybe our 2015 run, which wasn't much of a run. It was 2.5 hours long, that I just don't have any confidence in them, and deservedly so. This team is so hot and cold that I have no reason to believe that they will put up 4 weeks of good baseball against four different teams. Like, why should I believe that that will happen?
Let's stick to this first week first. You're getting ahead of yourself.
I'm just saying, like.
So look, this first round against the Indians, this is a 3-game series, right?
Yes.
Do you think that the Yankees are going to be consistent enough to win at least two of those three? Because honestly, I think
– in Cleveland, I mean, by the way.
Exactly. I'm going to say all three are in Cleveland. So I know I've been quiet, but my personal opinion, I think that in classic Yankees disappointment fashion, they go down 2-1.
I think that if the Yankees go – I think if the Yankees lose, they'll go down 2-0. This is kind of bold, but I kind of like our chances if we get to a game three. I think the Yankees have a deeper bullpen than the Indians. Because like they're guys, I think it's Bieber tomorrow, obviously, and then it's Carrasco versus Tanaka. I like that matchup for us. That was the 2017 game three matchup, and both guys shoved. But I like Tanaka over Carrasco. But obviously, it really matters how tomorrow or tonight, if you're listening to it on Tuesday, you're listening. So it matters how it goes tonight. But Wednesday is game two. Is Tanaka Carrasco. And then I'm assuming it'll be Hap Plesac. Jay Hap will have a ridiculously short leash. He will, if he allows more than one base runner on past the third inning, he's getting yanked. And a Deve Garcia, a Chad Green, Jonathan Loaisiga even is coming in, if that's the case.
Yeah, with no days off, obviously they're going to let Cole and Tanaka, they're going to let him give as much as they possibly can. They're going to empty the tank on
both them. Of those guys, I can see if they don't screw up, and I'm not – let me get this straight. I'm going to sound like such a fool, I guarantee you, but I'm way more afraid of the Indians pitching than I am of their offense. They had an 86 WRC plus this year. Obviously, Jose Ramirez had a great year, but if they can shut him down and Lindor, because you can never count out Lindor. Francisco Lindor is a fantastic baseball player. If you can shut Lindor and Ramirez down, I don't know how the rest of the lineup is going to fare. I mean, Gerrit Cole, people are forgetting. This is what people are forgetting. Gerrit Cole and Masahiro Tanaka are both top five all-time in starters that qualify in the postseason with seven starts or more in ERA. They both shove in the playoffs, and that is a fact. I'm not saying that'll happen this year, but if we're speaking trends and past instances, those guys have a track record of completely shoving. So that I feel some solace in. Game three is going to be like, if it gets there, it's going to be such a mishmash for the Yankees. Like, it'll be Happ, it'll be Garcia, it'll be Green, it'll be Lasagna. Chapman could throw two innings. Britton could throw two innings. Like, it's going to be a mess. Jonathan Holder even becomes a factor. I would hope that – so let's assume real quick that the Yankees do somehow get out of Cleveland and get to go to San Diego. When is game one of the LDS? If Cole's starting Tuesday, when would he have to start game one?
Tuesday.
Do we know that yet? We do, right?
We should know that. I mean, what do you think? Yeah, game two, Friday, Saturday. I mean, you got to give him some time off, but.
I mean, no, he'll start game one of the American League Division Series. He will start game one if the Yankees move past.
He should, definitely.
I'm checking.
The interesting thing here, if the Yankees win game one, I don't know why you would just game two, you would just go the Davey Happ type thing and save Tanaka for game three, because if Tanaka's, I mean, I don't know why you just wouldn't save Tanaka potentially, maybe have him pitch game one and give Cole, you know, maybe an extra day off or something for against the Rays. And we know Tanaka pitches very, very well against the Rays, and Cole has not. Cole has not looked great against the Rays.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, so game one of the ALDS, and we're getting way ahead of ourselves, by the way, but it is something important to talk about. Game one of the ALDS would be October 5th. That would be a full 5 days of rest for Gerrit Cole and Masahiro Tanaka. A full 5 days, because that's Monday. That would be game one of the LDS, Monday, October 5th. So I can see Gerrit Cole then pushing him to 115, 120 pitches because he's going to get 5 days off. And I'll list off a few things Gerrit Cole has said that makes me feel a little bit good. Pressure is a privilege. He likes that there's big stakes in game one. He said that Monday. I'm not the way I have been in the past with Severino or Paxton even, where like I'm worried about like their mentality going into the game. I don't feel that way about Cole or Tanaka. I feel like those guys are going to be rock hard, like they know what they have to do.
Of course, so. Yeah. Tanaka's done it in the past, no matter who's catching. And now, you know, with Cole's new catcher, you know, it's Higashioka, who Boone said confirmed is starting game one. Yep. I feel great about that battery, yep, given what they've done the last three starts. So I'm not worried about just Cole or Tanaka. I'm just worried about the offense and the bullpen.
I was going to say, like, in the instance that Gerrit Cole gives us seven innings of one-run ball tomorrow, I don't know if that's enough. And that terrifies me. I really don't know if seven innings of one-run ball is enough to get the Yankees the win, which is crazy because it's a real role reversal from last year's team. And where, like, I was like, if they can get through five innings and have the lead, the game is over. I don't feel that way this year. I don't.
Oh, man,
I don't.
Last year.
And that was true. Like, if they could get through five innings with the lead, the game was over. And that's exactly what happened. The unfortunate thing about the Astros is that they never gave us that chance to have the lead early in the game. But it's put up or shut up time, man. It really is. I'm trying to think of what else. Yeah. So Cole Bieber tomorrow, we got to talk about that. So obviously I would say these are the two best pitchers in the American League. Bieber ran away with the Cy Young this year. This is his first, I'm going to look up his stats from last year. He was an all-star last year, but like, this is the first year he's been like completely insane. Like, this is the first I don't think he's ever pitched in a playoff game, has he?
No, I don't think he's ever played in a playoff game either, which is, I think, something where you take that advantage, and without the fans, in Cleveland. I don't know, kind of, what if he gives up, you know, one or two runs in the first two or three innings, then kind of what happens? So that's,
I don't know what Cleveland's home and road splits are for this year either. It's kind of, do you know?
I should know this. Splits. I'll figure this out. But okay. I mean, there is that playoff thing that I like with Cole and I like with Tanaka. And if we got both of those, you know, Carrasco, obviously great story with the cancer, but you know, he hasn't pitched, you know, in full, you know, full max in a playoff game in a couple of years. So that's kind of where I have the advantage, the experience. But I mean, both teams have been there. You know, the Indians made it all the way to the World Series in 16, and 17 was their real year to do it before the Yankees, you know, said, hold my beer with the 2-0 lead and came back and won those three games. So I'm feeling good. The pitching's there. Just got to scrap one or two runs against Bieber. You know,
The thing about Bieber is I don't think he's ever started a playoff game. And Carrasco, for that one thing that I like about Cole Tanaka for game one and two, and we're not going to talk about game three. We're not going to talk about it because it either won't happen and we don't know enough about it yet. But Cole and Tanaka both pitched in high leverage situations last year. And that is good. That is good because they've been there. And they know what they have to do. And there's no fans in the crowd. So the home field, as much as it matters, matters less. So we'll see about that. But
Indians were 18-12 at home this year. So
that's nothing special, though.
No.
That's really.
Yankees were 22-9 at home. And given how bad their season was, that's, you know, much better. So I have confidence. We've won in Cleveland when we've needed to. The issue is not home field advantage. If we lose this game in the bottom of the ninth of, you know, game three, then there's a real issue, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, but because you said that, now it's going to happen. All right, we're going to do a little bit more of like a broad like preview for like just the whole postseason now. So as of right now, just tell me your ALCS, your NLCS, who wins that, and then who wins your World Series in as many games. World Series MVP, yada, yada, yada.
All right. So in the ALCS, kind of thinking here, I just filled out the bracket earlier this morning for, you know, what is it, $5,000. But I got the Rays. I got them beating the Blue Jays. I got the Indians over the Yankees. Call me a liar, but I can't trust this Yankee team. So I have the Rays over the Indians. And then I have the Twins and the White Sox. I haven't been of an upset there. I don't trust the Athletics. Their pitching staff's never been there. They don't have Matt Chapman, their best player. I can't trust them. I have the Twins over the White Sox. That's a tough one back and forth. Both of them have played each other. So I got Twins and Rays on the AL side. And then I have Dodgers-Cubs on the NLCS. The Dodgers, you know, they're going to play the Brewers. They'll cream through them. I actually have the Cardinals over the Padres, you know, without Clevinger and Lamette, who had a blister. They say he might play. But I have the Cardinals. I really like them. I think they have an underrated year considering everything they've been through, how many games they've had to play. Obviously, they had 2 weeks off due to COVID. So I got them winning. And then on the other side of the NL, I have the Reds over the Braves. Pitching wins, you know, championships, and the Braves just don't have pitching. And the Reds, I think, will finally, after such a really bad start to the year, I think they'll get past the Braves with that pitching staff and with enough offense, even though that's been pretty shaky this year. And then I have the Cubs over the Marlins. Pretty simple. Marlins have absolutely no offense, and the Cubs have pretty good pitching. So Dodgers, Cubs, and the NLCS, I have the Cubs. You know, call me a liar here. I might be, you know, on the Cubs too much, you know, hopping on the bandwagon a little bit. But I got the Cubs, and I got the Rays in the World Series. The Rays, I think, are just the best team. They're coached so, so well. Yes. They were built for the 60-game season. You know, no one wanted to admit it as a Yankees fan, but we knew it was true. And it's evident given the fact that they beat the Yankees by 7 games. I mean, the Yankees were practically closer to the Orioles than they were to the Rays, which is pretty scary. Just shows you how good the Rays were. And the Rays have been banged up all year. That bullpen has been so injured, and they've still managed to get this far. I think they will get farther. I think they win the World Series, the Rays over the Cubs in six. My MVP, I want to choose a pitcher, but I feel like that's just not the way it's going to go, even though Strasburg won it last year. I will go with Brandon Lau for your World Series MVP, Rays over the Cubs in six, and I have the Yankees losing in 3 games to the Indians. That's the only prediction you guys probably care about.
Yeah. I'll just skip ahead to LCS here. My LCS is it's Cleveland. I have them beating the Rays. Obviously, like, I'm just not going to pick the Yankees at all. because I think it's bad luck. And yeah, I'm just not, I'm done picking the Yankees because I've done that the last few years. I obviously hope, I'm cautiously optimistic and I hope we win, but yeah, I have the Indians playing against the Twins. And then I have the Indians winning that series in six games. I think Cleveland's going all the way to the World Series. And then on the other side, I have the Dodgers and the Reds. I think that the Reds are going to make a run this year. I think that they're hot at the right time, and I think that their pitching staff is going to power them through. Unfortunately, the Dodgers are a juggernaut. I think the Dodgers will take out the Reds in five. And then in the World Series, it'll be the Dodgers over the Cleveland Indians in seven games. I think it'll be a close series, another gut-wrencher for Cleveland. But if there's going to be a year that the Dodgers finish this, I think this is their time. I don't know. I know that the Dodgers will win a World Series eventually with this core. It'd be crazy to think not. And I think that this is just like, I don't know. I see it happening. I see this being the year. So, Anthony, do you want to do yours real quick?
I'm taking my upset pick. I'm going to say Twins and Dodgers in the World Series, and I'm going the Minnesota Twins.
Wow. And
I say that in a way just because, like, I feel like obviously the Twins have had a good season. They're first in AL Central. They have one of the best records in the league. I mean, that's not really true, but up there. Yeah. And just in general, I feel like out of any seasons where they could win, it's going to be this year just because it's random, it's weird, it's something new. And I feel like if there's any sort of surprises this year, that's going to be one, the big one of them. So I could definitely see ALCS being what you said. I think it's going to end up being Cleveland versus Minnesota. I just think that the Twins are going to take that series, probably six or seven. And then I'm going to say they beat the Dodgers. I don't know how many games, but I feel like it's not going to be a complete sweep. So I'm probably going to say Twins in six.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That works. And then just real quick before we finish out, I want to say my ideal path, obviously beat Cleveland. Then I want to beat Tampa because screw them. I hate those guys so much. Then obviously I want to beat Houston. I don't think Houston's going to win a single game. I think that the Twins are going to curb stomp them. Exactly. But I hope that the Yankees have the chance to play the Astros in the LCS and beat them. And then I hope they play the Dodgers because I want to be challenged and I feel like that'd be – as much as people from small market people, as much as they crap on a Yankees-Dodgers matchup, I'm sorry, that would be the most watched World Series of all time. Call me a loser. Yankees-Dodgers would be the most watched World Series of all time.
I should have been 2017 World Series. That's all I'm saying. People are going to want to see the real 2017 World Series.
I mean, that'd be kind of cool. That'd be quite the script, actually, if it was Yankees-Dodgers because of that. But
I respect the picks.
Yeah. Yeah, so hopefully we'll see you guys again like Thursday night, Friday morning, whenever, discussing a Yankee win. If not, it'll be a Yankee loss and probably a Jet loss too because they play Thursday. So
of course. Yeah, no, that's not in the question.
So
before anything else, I want to thank you, Austin Platt, for coming on tonight. Obviously, if the Yankees continue their streak in the playoffs, then you'll be on more than once. So let's hope for that. Obviously, I've been a little quiet today. I kind of want to let you guys have the shine because I know how happy you guys must be to actually have a
team. Let the Yankees fans talk.
Having a New York team in the playoffs is very special, and I haven't really been able to experience that anytime recently. So I want to let you guys have the spotlight for this one. But obviously, big series coming up this week. It's going to be a lot of hype around that. Like you guys both said, you're dangerously optimistic. But obviously, yep. You just got to hope for the best. And I'm rooting for you guys. I think I like that. I think right now it's for the pod, I'm going to say.
The further we go, the better the content. And that's
exactly. So for the pod, I'm going to say I hope the Yankees win. But anyway, that's all we got for today. We're just going to plug our socials real quick. I'm Anthony Evangelista7 on Instagram, Anthony EV7 on Twitter. Platt, if you want to send yours out.
A Platter _ on Instagram and Austin Platter 15 on Twitter.
Yep. And then you guys know mine, Kyle Keegan, but the L is a one, Kai1EKeegan as always. So Anthony, bring us home here.
And of course with the socials for our big pod, whatever, at Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram, at Big Apple SP Media on Twitter. Thank you guys so much for listening. We're hoping for a very happy episode by the end of the week. That's obviously what we're gearing towards, but if not.
Yankees win, Jets win. That's what we're hoping for, baby. Let's go.
I don't know if I want the Jets to win, to be honest. I just want Gase out. But you know what? That's a story for another episode. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.